Welcome to Season of Change Podcast Show. It's a platform where you learn about relationship, how to grow a healthy relationship, and how to be successful in your relationship and your marriage. It's a platform where you learn about leadership skills and to develop your spiritual life as a Christian, how to raise godly children in our today's society, and how to manage your business as a Christian and your home. Thank you. Connect with us always on our episode that will be bringing. Welcome to Season of Change, transforming your life through the power in the Word of God. I am your host, Evangelist Jeremiah Joseph from Nigeria. This is Season of Change, transforming your life through the power in the Word of God. I am here tonight with my guest, Joseph M. Leonard. He's a writer, he's a speaker, and also he has many other things that he's doing. And he will be telling us more on his book that he's publishing recently, The Terror Striker. Welcome, Mr. Joseph, to Season of Change.
Thank you for having me, Jeremiah. I greatly appreciate it.
Wow. So can you tell us about your area in the United States where you come from?
I'm from the Detroit, Michigan area. It's the eastern part of the Midwest state of Michigan. And I've been a lifelong resident of the city I'm in, which is called Wyandotte. And I don't like the Michigan winters, but I do choose to stay because I like the area.
Okay, that's great. Well, we'll be going straight to our discussion. I want to ask you, Mr. Joseph, how do you come about the topic of your book or the title of your book, The Terror Striker?
Well, it came to me in a dream in 2006. I was thinking that a lot of people after 9/11 who swore to never forget were beginning to forget. And the book just never really quite came together. And I put it aside. Well, the dreams came back again last year. And I was put on my heart that this book needed to come out now, because now that we're coming out of the Wuhan virus paranoia and panic, the terrorism will be creeping back into the news, even though terrorism never went away. It's just that most of the mainstream media stopped bothering to report it.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. So, what is the meaning of terror striker?
Well, the point and purpose of the book is, again, to remind people that terrorism didn't go away. And I used a book within a book format. Terror Strikes is not just a book, but a book within the book, as my lead, Martin, who is a newspaper man, is writing a book about terrorism himself. It is also a blog within a book, as Martin uses his 9/11 blog that he wrote in 2003 as source material. Terror Strikes not only acts as a history lesson and warning, but concepts of not just those lost, but survivors' guilt and other related issues surrounding violent acts affecting everyday life. And I'd like to add that even despite the title, Terror Strikes, the main theme is obviously terrorism, but there are a lot of sub-themes in the book about, you know, loving your neighbor and that love over hate. I like to say about this book, this is not a book about death. It's a book about life and living, and those both foreign and domestic regarding, you know, regardless of your location, that want to deprive others of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Okay, thank you very much. And I will be asking you questions about it. Is this book related to, is it related to a Christian society or the community?
Yes, very much so. I was born and raised a Catholic. My main character, Martin, is very much a Christian. And at one point in the book, it says about him writing his book will honor God in the process. And my book does that too. Now, that's not to say that I sat down to write a specifically Christian book. I didn't. I wrote an honest book about terrorism. But you can't write an honest book about terrorism without dealing with both religion and politics, because it's why they say they want to kill us. So yes, it's not your normal fluffy Christian book, obviously, about being about terrorism. But yes, at the core, it is indeed very Christian values based.
Okay, thank you very much. In your the first place, when you're talking about the book, you talked about love, loving your neighbor, loving yourself, and loving others. What brings about this to this book, related to this book, the topic, the terror strikers?
Well, again, I mean, the only thing that's going to conquer hate is love. Now, obviously, you have to fight hate with bullets at times, too. But ultimately, culturally, love has to conquer hate and those who have hardened hearts. So the terrorism topic begs that question. They hate us. Do we hate them back? No, we don't hate them. We have to fight them because they want to kill us. But as the Bible says, love your enemy. Love, you know, just as you love your neighbor. Doesn't mean you don't defend yourself, though.
Okay. Now, I still want to talk more on love. I want you to talk more on love. If the terrorists are coming up with their guns, and are we to show them love?
Obviously not. If you're going up to a terrorist holding an AK-47 with a flower to put in their barrel, then frankly, you're gonna be killed and you're stupid. You love them in your heart, but you still have to fight them with guns and bullets and bombs because that's what they are bringing to us. So you don't kill them out of hate. You have love in your heart, but you can act in your own self-defense. That is not a violation of the thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not murder innocents, like killing of the unborn, like we see here rampantly in the United States through abortion. Thou shalt not murder innocents. And that's also a value in the Quran that they ignore.
Okay, now I want to give an instance. Here in the part of Nigeria where I am living, I'm living in the northern part of Nigeria, mm-hmm. and we're experiencing a lot of terror attack on churches, communities, and even on innocent people. Mm-hmm. How can we overcome all this by love?
How can we overcome it by law? I mean, you could pass all the laws you want. They're going to ignore them. The only way to do it is through brute force. Bullies only understand one thing, brute force. You must respond in kind. Like the saying goes, fight fire with fire. If they want to kill you, then unfortunately, you have to defend yourself. If it's you or them, then there's no problem with you killing them.
Okay. Now, as a Christian, You said, thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not murder the innocent. And for instance, we find the situations whereby a lot of innocent people have been killed, held either by policemen or either by accidents or one circumstances or the other. And maybe the convict or the person that commits the murder escapes, was not being arrested. So how do you, we're going to justify this?
I'm not quite understanding the question. You mean police violence?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's a trumped up issue here in the U.S. I can't speak for what's going on there, obviously. I've never visited the African continent, let alone Nigeria. So I can only speak to what's happening in the United States. And there's a group called Black Lives Matter, which we tend to call black lying Marxists, who only seem to care about black lives when they're killed at the hands of a white cop. Well, the issue there is the deaths are occurring not because white cops are assassinating innocent black people. It's black criminals refusing to obey commands to be arrested. They are resisting arrest and fighting the police. And when you fight the police, I'm sorry, if you get injured or killed in the process, there is only one person responsible for that death, and that is the criminal who is resisting arrest. We've had very famous incidents like George Floyd. I don't know if you know that name. That man would be alive today had he not resisted arrest. So, I, as to what's happening in your locale, I can't speak to because I don't know. But that may or may not relate directly with what's happening there. Are there racist law enforcement people? I have no doubt there's a small percentage of racist law enforcement people. Again, speaking for the United States goes, there's racism everywhere. There's always gonna be some racism, and we must fight that and root that out. But to say white law enforcement people are running around purposefully assassinating innocent black people, I think that is a myth. Again, from the United States standpoint, I can't speak to what's going on there because I'm not familiar with your exact situations and your news cycle.
Okay, thank you very much about that. So what is the aim for writing this book? What is your aim of writing this book?
Yeah, the aim and the purpose is to remind people of terrorism. Now, like you said at the top, that you've got a lot of terrorism still going on. So it's rampant there and it's everyone is aware. Well, in the United States and in parts of Europe, because of the Wuhan virus, the media has been hyped up on that in order to have ratings and to sell advertisement money, to make advertisement money. And they haven't really been reporting the terrorism that's still going on. So this book, one, acts as a reminder. And like I said at the top, Terror Strikes not only acts as a history lesson and warning, but additional sub-themes, like people who suffer PTSD, survivor's guilt. If, you know, people who survive a terrorist attack sometimes wonder why they survived and others didn't, and they suffer depression and have suicidal thoughts. So suicide prevention is a major sub-theme, sub-topic in my book. Loving one another rather than hating one another, a major sub-theme in my book. Also a bit of comedy. I have a chapter called Comic Relief in my book, because no matter how serious things get, we have to try to maintain a bit of a sense of humor and to laugh, or we'll always be crying, as the saying goes. So again, let me say, like I said at the top, this is not a book about death. It's a book about life and living our lives, but yet still being aware of our surroundings. We can't be an ostrich. If an ostrich walks onto a set of train tracks, hears the train coming, chooses to bury its head in the sand and pretend there's no train coming, that isn't going to stop it from being run over by the train just because it no longer sees it and hears it, right? So we have to live our lives, but be aware of our surroundings and what is going on and prepare ourselves as best as possible to defend ourselves, our right to life.
Thank you very much about that. I want to ask you this, maybe the question may be technical, but can terrorism be eradicated?
You know, I'm afraid that is probably a no. There will always be people who are racist. There will always be people who are sexist. There will always be some religious bigoted people who hate other people just because they are not them. So can it be eradicated? No. But can we corner it and, you know, shun it and make it so painful that if they act up, it won't be in their interest to act out on their feelings. You know, if we could corner it into some small parts of the globe and keep them isolated and our boot on their throats. Unfortunately, that's what it's going to take. Like after World War II, we occupied Germany. I'm afraid that good nations, good peoples are going to have to all band together and occupy lots of areas of the globe where these radical fundamentalist terrorists used to have training camps and to launch attacks at others, much like the U.S. started to do in Afghanistan, and idiot President Joe Biden cut and run and turned that country back over to the Taliban. So now Al-Qaeda and ISIS will be able to train and launch attacks from Afghanistan again upon Western peaceful nations.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. You talked about isolating them, shunning them. But let me say it through or by our own experience in here in Nigeria, we have them, terrorists, all over Nigeria presently, because it's a great problem here, because they are causing a lot of problem, and sometimes they block our route, they attack our trains, sometimes they attack our airports. For once, they've attacked our airports here in the state where I'm living, and we find out that the government are not doing much to eradicate them. Right. What do you do for this? Why? Is it that the government is in support of it, or the government love to just disturb the peace of the nation?
That is a good question, and one only you can answer, obviously. But yes, certain governments, of course, in order for their own power and control, like the attacks, they feed off them. They provide a counter. They pretend to keep you safe in order for you then to keep them in power. And that goes back to, like I said, I didn't specifically say, but stronger nations like the United States and the United Kingdom and France and Spain and Italy and Germany are going to have to band together like we did. Well, Germany, we fought Germany, but they're our ally now. We all have to band together and fight this global war, including in Africa, to root it out and, like I said, isolate it so that it isn't affecting everyday citizens like you on a daily basis.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So what are the lessons that your readers will learn, or what are the things you want your readers to understand?
Well, I want my readers, and again, this is an international book. It's not just a US-based book. Obviously, my character is from Detroit, Michigan. So the main theme is US-based, but this is really an international book. And part of the point is that terrorism exists everywhere. There's a chapter on Toronto, Ontario, Canada, a chapter on London, England, a chapter on Madrid, Spain, a chapter on Tokyo, Japan. There's nothing African continent specific, but the overall theme and point that it is happening everywhere, and it will take everyone from everywhere, good people, to band together. Like Edmund Burke, a famous American, once said, the only thing needed for evil to prevail is good people to do nothing. Good people need to band together to fight the evil.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Do you mention some set of terrorists in your book? Maybe the group of terrorists that you have the ideas. You mention them in your book?
Yes. My book mainly deals with Muslim fundamentalist radicals, but not completely. I recognize that not all Muslims are terrorists. Not all terrorists are Muslim. Not all Arabs are Muslim. Not all Muslims are Arab. This book carefully makes that point several times, because there are some people who, of course, try to blame one set of people and one set of people only, and that's not true. But it is indeed true that my book primarily focuses on what I call Gija, and that's G-I-J-I-A. It's kind of like during World War II, the National Socialist Deutschland Arbeiter Party members we called Nazis for short. Well, I call Islamic fundamentalist radicals Gija, which stands for Global Islamic Jihadist Interim Army. So we could call them Gija for short. It rolls off the tongue a lot easier. And if we could get all on the same page on one term, but again, that's not to say those are the only people committing terrorism. That is not the case. This book does not allege that in no way, shape, or form. It is the primary focus, however. Otherwise, I would have had a 500-page book, and the book would have cost too much money. Nobody would be able to afford to buy it, right?
Okay, thank you very much. That is great. I want to ask you these questions now. Why is it that major terrorist group are associated with the Islamic religion?
Well, again, not all Muslims are terrorists, and not all terrorists are Muslims. It is just a small faction of the Islamic faith. Like, we have a great American here called Dr. Zudi Jasser, who wrote a book called Reform, about reforming Islam. Most Muslims I know, and probably there, are peace-loving people and want to love their neighbor and recognize the Quran calls Christians and Jews the people of the book. We worship the same God. Allah is derived from the Aramaic term. The Bible doesn't use Allah, but Muhammad and the Arabs for Islam kept that term. We are under the same umbrella, but yet a small portion of radicals want to warp the Islamic faith and declare everyone else an infidel that must be killed if they do not conform or convert. And That is not loving your neighbor, obviously. And that's a Quranic value. Loving your neighbor is in the Quran, just as it is in the Holy Bible, in the Torah and the New Testament. But certain people, for their own power and control, like I discuss in the book, Osama bin Laden sees himself as not really a warrior for Allah. He sees himself as a new Muhammad, a new prophet. In fact, he placed himself, before we killed him, above all other in Islam. It was about him being in charge, his hubris, his wanting power and control over others, not Islam.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I like that your statement. You said not Muslims are terrorists. Not all Muslims are terrorists, and not all terrorists are Muslims.
Absolutely. That is a great— I repeat that several times in the book. It has to be said over and over and over again, because unfortunately, there are some people who are indeed, you know, hate Muslims unwarrantedly. It's their own personal bigotry and hatred. And that's why, again, ultimately, bullets and bombs are needed. But ultimately, it will take my love, your love, over their hate to finally come together and coexist.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So how will this book, Terror Striker, help us to live our life, or to help us to live our day or in our daily living?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because again, I mentioned a couple times there are sub themes in the book. The love over hate is just one of them. Comic relief is another. And I'll repeat, this is not a book about death. It is about life and living, and those both foreign and domestic. They want to deprive you of your life, your liberty, and your pursuit of happiness. We must not let the terrorists win by hardening our hearts and turning us cold and turning us into hateful, spiteful, envious, covetous, prideful, hubris-filled people as they are. So this is about living, but also, like I said about the ostrich, you still have to be aware of what's going on around you while you're trying to pursue your own happiness.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I find that the terrorist sect recruits new members. What are we going to do in order to encourage a lot of youths not to join them?
Well, one of the biggest issues is that it's part of human nature to want to belong to something greater than oneself. And if we don't truly have a relationship with God, we're susceptible to these cultists. And that's kind of what Gija are. They are a cult. They are a subsect of Islam. They are not Islam. I'll repeat that over and over. They are a subsect. And they are a cult, and they recruit through propaganda. And unfortunately, that's going to be a problem. There's a chapter in my book called El Aldea about propaganda. Unfortunately, throughout the Middle East, there is a lot of Islamic jihadist propaganda, especially like in the Gaza Strip area, teaching and preaching to hate Jewish people. And that's one of the stated goals of the Gija, as is the Ayatollahs in Iran, to wipe Israel and all Jews off the face of the earth. They want another Hitlerian Holocaust, and we cannot allow that to happen. We are all red-blooded brethren at our cores. And we need to look to what we have in common rather than those things that divide us.
So, thank you very much. Well, I want to ask you a question. What is the major aim of the terrorists? Sec, whether Muslim or Christian, or the, let me say, the one troubling the communities, maybe the peace of the, whether for racism, what is their aim?
Well, their aim, like I said about Osama bin Laden, is all about power and control. They don't see themselves, although they'll claim they are, they'll claim they are followers of the Prophet Muhammad. In my opinion, they really believe themselves to be above the Prophet. They believe they are imbued by God to be the next prophet, and they want a fascist caliphate, a global fascist government where everyone bows down to them, not to God, not to Allah, but bow down to them and follow their dictates, not their holy rich dictates. Because a lot of times they're not following the dictates of their holy rich, like most, the majority, 99% of Muslims being peaceful are doing.
Okay, thank you very much. Let me ask you one or two questions more, then we bring the program to a close.
Okay.
What do these terrorists do to fund or to get fund or to raise fund for themselves? Because, sorry, let me add this to it. Because sometimes we hear from news that they have people that fund them, that finance them, and some of those people that finance them are untraceable. How do they get their funds? How do they convince people to get money from them?
Well, Russia and China are big financiers of Gija terrorists because, of course, right now they are focusing on fighting Western nations. So Russia and China are happy to fund these terrorists as long as they're devouring their enemies, their perceived enemies. And they're too stupid to understand that once you unleash a monster, as the saying goes, hoping that the monster will eat you last is not a good strategy, because the monster, once it's done devouring its current carcass, will be looking for a new carcass to devour, if that makes sense to you, and I believe it does.
Yes. So you mentioned two countries that they are the major fund, that the funders or the sponsors of this sect because of the Western world. I want to ask you a question. I know you are an American man. You are a citizen of America. You love America. What do you see America is trying to do at this critical time that we have in all these things happening in the world?
Well, unfortunately, America's not doing a whole lot right now with Joe Biden as president. He's the worst president there's ever been in my lifetime. And that's saying something, because Jimmy Carter of the 70s was really bad. We have great inflation going on here now. The cost of everything is going way through the roof. So people are distracted right now until there's another major terrorist attack, like another 9/11, the focus will be off on something else. And then America hopefully then takes its lead again. But until such time, other nations need to step up and take the lead. We cannot rely on America like we have two world wars to bail out Europe the Middle East and Asia yet again. It's going to take a global initiative, an alliance of all good peoples, of all good nations, forming a massive alliance to wipe this out. And until we get serious about that, unfortunately, the terrorism is going to continue.
Okay, thank you very much. Let me ask you this last one. I want to ask you, Bills on morals and Christianity in America. We find out that a lot of things is going down. Let me say the Christianity in America is going down. And we see that other things are taking place, the place of Christianity in America, like going for shows in cinemas. People no longer have enough time to seek the face of God. People no longer have enough time to pray. People no longer have enough time to come together as a church, even to worship God. And we find that all these things are begins to generate a lot of things in the mind of the upcoming generation or the coming generation. And it's going to be a great trouble for us in the future. What do you have to say about this?
I agree with you. Unfortunately, faith in general, whether it be Judaism, Christianity, or even Islam, or Buddhism, or you name it, whatever, Hinduism, or just general spirituality is on the decline. And the bottom line is that God gave us free will. So we even have the free will to turn our backs on him. And you made the right point. There's things like movies, books, that are a distraction. And people are walking away from faith and into secularism, into atheism, and all about me and what do I get out of everything for me immediately. It's covetedness and envy, like I mentioned before. What can I take from others rather than being part of a godly nation that cares for one another without stealing from another to do that? That's our personal responsibility. We are called to be our brother's keeper. Jesus did not say, however, steal from the neighbor on that side of you to give to that neighbor on the other side of you. It is your personal responsibility, charity, not socialism and redistribution of wealth. That is theft. That is a violation of the commandments.
Thank you very much. I so much appreciate your contribution.
I appreciate you having me today. And the easiest place for people anywhere in the world, including Africa, to be able to look and potentially purchase my book is to go to terrorstrikes.info/international sales. terrorstrikes.info/international sales. And there's links, you know, based on continent and country where you can buy this book anywhere in the world. Now, I don't know how much shipping a book to Nigeria would cost. So maybe the better route is if you're a Kindle user or to become a Kindle user, and you could go through Amazon.com and download the book to Kindle, and then there's no shipping charges that way. You can get the book for $6.99 US. I don't know what that translates into your currency, but it's a much more economic way to be able to read the book probably on your continent than it is to buy a physical copy.
Okay, that's great. That's great. That's great. And I know very soon I will contact you because you are trying to bring up our site. So I will contact you. We can help you to sell, to market them even on our site too. Very soon doing that. We're working on it. But I want you to use this to conclude it for us. What do you have to say to everyone at this time that we are? We are in a critical time. Is the world running to an end? On what are we really expecting? Because every day we wake up in fear. Nobody knows what will happen next.
Yeah.
Russian-Ukraine war is there. China, Taiwan, they are struggling their own. North Korea is gathering, building up arms. And a lot of things happening. What do you have to say about this?
Yeah, well, are we in the end of days? We shall not know the day or the time or the place. Armageddon around the corner? I don't know. I can't say. We have to live our life as if, you know, it's not, but be prepared spiritually in case it is. Hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. And of all things, believe in God and treat one another as we would like to be treated ourselves. If more people would finally adopt that philosophy, whether you be Jewish, Christian, Islam, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever, that philosophy is the only thing that could save our planet. And unfortunately, it won't. We know it won't. We know how it ends. We know what Revelation says, and it will come to pass. We just have to hope it comes to pass way out in the future.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Do you have other books that you have published?
No, this is my first internationally published books. I have other books that I've written, but this is the first one that I deemed was really worthy of being published and had enough important content in it that people need to buy it. So that's why this book and this book alone is my sole book at this time. I'm looking at potentially writing a few more, but for now, I need to focus on this book.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate you. We really appreciate your time being on this platform. You have been a great impact to our listeners, and you will always be a great impact to our listeners on Season of Change. We really appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you having me, Jeremiah. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you. I would say we bear the same name, Joseph.
Yeah.
Great minds think alike.
Our mothers must have thought alike.
Yes.
Although your last name is Joseph, or is that your middle name?
My first name is Joseph.
I thought your first name was Jeremiah. It's a cultural thing. You have Jeremiah first. I thought that was it. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's just a cultural thing, misunderstanding.
Yes. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. God bless.
What do you have to say to our listeners on Season of Change?
That's it. Take care. God bless. Live your life, but be aware of what's going on around you and take action when needed to protect yourself and your family.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. This is Season of Change, transforming your life through the power and the word of God. In case you need this book, you can contact our guest on the link which he has mentioned, terrorstriker.info. I think I'm correct?
Yes, correct.
Terrorstriker.info. You can order for the book. If you want his contact information, we can send that to you. we can get back to you. You can email us too on our link. You can send a message to us on our YouTube. Then we'll get details to you about the book. And I know that this book is going to do a great impact to us in our community, in our nations, in our homes. Please try and get a copy of it. You're going to be blessed through it. And I want to appreciate everyone that is going to be listening to us and those that are listening to us right now, that God will continue to keep you and bless you. Remember, you're on Season of Change, transforming your life through the power in the Word of God. I remain your host, Evangelist Jeremiah Joseph. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Joseph. God bless you. So you can put up the recording now.